All right, it is time to talk to TD, Teron Davenport, fueled by Parman Energy. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. And special bonus, this week, Teron's reports from the NFL Combine are brought to you by Chicago's Home for Chicken and Waffles in East Nashville. Oh, yes.
East Nashville.
I drive by it all the time when I go to the Y. It's a good spot. It's a good spot. All right, we are... Have we connected with TD? He's in. All right, TD is on. Ready to go. TD, welcome in.
Hey, welcome in for sure. I appreciate you guys. Yeah, man, Chicago chicken and waffles. Go get that fried catfish, you know, some cabbage and mac and cheese. Thank me later. Or you can mix it with the yams, too.
So, I was going to ask if you frequented this place yet, because it's right down the street from my house. So I was going to say, if you haven't, you need to.
I'm hungry now, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, a lot of good spots over there. All right, so Teron, set the table for us here for particular points of emphasis, things that you're going to be watching closely for this week.
Yeah, well, of course, you have the prospect meetings. First and foremost, we got Robert Saleh tomorrow, and then Mike Borgonzi on Wednesday, it looks like. But Wednesday is also the day where the prospects start to speak to the media, so that's always a good thing, just to interact. And like the pass rushers, you know, I think that's going to be the main thing, get their pass rush plan, how they go about you know, attacking the quarterback, et cetera, et cetera. Then they're going to be workouts. I'll make sure I hit Exos because they have a little setup that I always go to and see some of the guys before the night before they go and test, and you get to talk to them then. So those are the main points, and obviously mixing with some of the coaches and sources throughout the week.
Now, TD, I read your article you had at ESPN.com, and you the four key positions the Titans should address this offseason.
Yeah.
And one position in particular, because we know, listen, they need to rush in. We know they need to rush in. We know they need another wide receiver, if not a elite top flight wide receiver. But we haven't talked much about the cornerback position.
Yeah.
This is a position that has a lot of young players on it. Obviously, they got rid of Jarvis Brownlee from last year. You know, Roger McCreary is no longer here. Legarius Sneed, he may not be here because of the injury situation with him. Marcus Harris, like you said, he shows promise. But how do you think they address the cornerback situation? Do you think they do it high in the draft, or they're going to take their shot again with free agency?
You know, I could see them doing both, to tell you the truth. And you look at free agency, I mean, Alante Taylor and Greg Newsome, I mean, that instantly brings, you know, a lot of canine, that dog, to the secondary. So you got that. Then you look at how the draft falls. I mean, there's a good group of, you know, 3 to 5 corners that could be there at the top of the second. If they're there, you know, like the Colton Hoods, those type, you might want to take one at 35. So I think you could see them add 2 to 3. And with this status of that secondary, especially the cornerback position, they should obviously consider doing that.
Now, how about the backup quarterback position? Because we've talked a lot on this show and recently about Will Levis and him, you know, the Titans potentially trading him away for picks, or should he remain the backup quarterback to Cam Ward? What are you thinking in regards to that? Do they go out and get someone, or do they keep Will Levis and allow him to be Cam's backup?
Yeah, I think they do end up dealing Levis, and you look at how this QB carousel could possibly go. There's going to be a team that's left without, you know, a quarterback, and Levis is an attractive young player. You could probably get a solid pick for him, and then also you could maybe use him in a package to move up in a round, you know what I mean, or up from one round into the back end of the next, you know, like say – going from the top of the fourth into the bottom of the third or something like that. So that's an option. Backup quarterback-wise, and we know Brandon Allen, he's gone. Jameis Winston is a guy, if he becomes available, right, if the Giants cut him, that's someone I would definitely look at bringing in. Or if you could send a late-round pick to bring him in for a year, that would really help Cam Ward for an abundance of ways, right? Socially, like you bring someone, like he's like an OG, been there as a number one pick and done that, you know what I mean? And also just, you know, like a brother-to-brother kind of thing, I think that would help. But then you look at Tyra Taylor as another option. So there are some different backup quarterbacks available, they're going to have to do something and make sure that they bring in the right one to help Cam and be another set of eyes when he comes off the field.
Now, how do you think they address the offensive line this year? Because obviously Kevin Zeitler, he may not be coming back next year. He had a one-year deal. And then on your left side, you got Peter. Is his contract up, or can they franchise him? So they have decisions they need to make, at least with their two guards, and how they either replace one or try to sign the other.
Yeah, this is a year where I would go ahead and extend Skoronski and look at Simmons as well. They're both, you could extend both of them. You look at the right guard position, you know, Jackson Slater. I mean, a lot of people don't look at the fact that he was highly decorated there at you know, coming out of college. And I think he's someone that could really be an option to take over there. He started towards the end of the year. And if not, you got a free agency like Jermaine Illuminor is an option. Or you could look at the draft. And there's always guards in the draft that you could take.
Now, how do they address the rush in? Obviously, we know they need one, but how do you think they address that? Obviously, people want them to take one of those guys within the first four picks, but then how do they address it? Do you think they go into free agency for an older individual to try to pair him with the young guy?
Yeah, I think they do that, and I think Femi and as well as Jalen Harrell. I mean, we don't look at the fact that Jalen Harrell had four sacks in the last five games. He came on strong towards the end. So I'm not saying that he's Derek Thomas or anybody like that, but I'm saying, you know, he's someone to be in the rotation. Then you add like a John Franklin Myers, who has expressed interest in joining the Titans after Tenzel Smart was named the assistant D-line coach. So you have that. There are other options. I mean, if Jalen Phillips comes available from the Eagles, you know, if they don't bring him back, that's somebody. There are multiple guys, but I think mainly you focus on the draft and look at adding it that way. The player's name from Tennessee, he's a rush end also. I forget his name. Johnson, I forget his first name, but he's someone else to consider, you know, I think on late day three or late day two, early day three.
Now, do you think a guy like Femi will benefit largely from having Saleh? Because if you look at Saleh's defenses, it's not like they have 15, 20 sack individuals. It's sacks by collection, more or less.
Yeah.
It's they put pressure from different ways. They like to rush you. They like to get to the passer. But they don't need that 15-sack guy. So how do you think it benefits Femi?
Well, I think it benefits all the guys, and that there's a rotation. I think he's going to get coached up really well. Scheme is going to allow him to get to the quarterback, and it's just going to help everybody. But the main thing to me is getting a running mate for Jeffrey Simmons. So if you have, you know, Orville Reese, Reuben Bain, David Bailey, whoever it should be, you put one of those guys with Simmons, there's going to be so many one-on-one matchups for Femi, and Femi's just going to have to win those. And the good thing is, again, he's going to have good coaching there. You look at that staff, they specialize in getting pass rush with the front four, so he's going to be in good shape.
Talking to Teron Davenport, you can find his writings on ESPN.com. You've got the podcast, Talking with TD. He is at the NFL Combine. So, TD, what do you think we can take away from the press conferences that we've heard from these new guys? Because I think it's important. We know Robert Saleh's defense in particular, for example, is going to be different. And obviously, it's a new offense with Brian Daboll. I love the questions, and I think you were involved in some of the, you know, how different is this? What types of players are you looking for now that you're running a different type of scheme? These are subtle things to maybe a casual group, but very important for the team to match up what they're trying to do with what types of players they're looking for. What do you think we're going to learn this week?
Yeah, I think you're going to that's a good question. I think really you're going to learn some of the guys that they're interested in as far as like a little bit about the ranking. You know, we're out here. We're going to work to talk to these guys, you know, obviously off the record to get a better idea. And then through that, we could kind of give a little more direction as far as like, you know, what is going to be that way, you know what I mean? So we'll see what happens. I look forward to getting some of those better picture things and figuring that stuff out.
What have you learned about Mike Borgonzi as opposed to the other general managers you've covered on how he approaches the combine? Anything stand out to you now that this is now his second combine that he's going to be running the show?
You know, honestly, I like his no-nonsense approach. That's the thing I like, and just very direct. He has a good way of viewing talent, and I think when he sees somebody, he sticks to it, and I like that fact.
Sad story. And Teron, you cover the up-and-coming players year after year, so you watch this guy, I'm sure, and I can remember this kid tearing up Vanderbilt several years ago when he was playing for Purdue, but such a sad story with Rondell Moore, who took his own life. And it just does remind you about, you know, the whole mental health thing and the pressure that players put on themselves at such a young age, 25 years old. That is just really stunning.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a shame. And I think, you know, he's a guy that's coming back from injury. And, you know, when you look at these guys, a lot of times we forget the fact that they are people, you know, and they have things that they have to deal with, things that they go through. And, you know what I mean? It's a shame. We don't know what happened, but kind of see the direction that it's pointing to. And you just really wish his family the best, you know, as far as they're trying to deal with this. And it's a tragedy. And I think, again, we tend to forget that these guys are people, right? Underneath the helmet and shoulder pads, there's an actual person with feelings, with emotions, and things that they go through. And it's really unnecessary, you know, some of the things that you see coming out on social media as far as people, I don't know if it's jealousy, what it is, but some of the things that they say is just ridiculous. And, again, wish his family the best.
Mm. Do we have a sense yet of anybody that will not be participating this week at the Combine? We know every year some of the top prospects opt out for obvious reasons. They don't feel like they need to prove themselves. What does it look like this week?
Yeah, it looks like Reuben Bain is not going to participate. Mendoza also. So those are the guys that have come out early. So we'll see how it continues to unfold.
Do you? Speaking of that, TD, have you seen in recent years guys more opt to not do it than to go out there and perform? And I'm talking about the top guys. I'm not talking about everybody. Yeah. I'm just saying guys.
Yeah, we're starting to see more and more quarterbacks not wanting to do that. So it's unfortunate. From what I understand, Love is going to participate, so that's a really good thing. But, yeah, I mean, it's hit or miss. You know, a lot of the quarterbacks are like, hey, I'm going to work out at my own pro day. And, I mean, more power to them. I like guys that want to come out and compete and solidify their position even better.
Now, who are you excited to see out here? Because I'm sure there are going to be a lot of names out there and guys you want to see how fast they run, their lateral movement, you know, vertical. But what guys are you excited to see?
Man, there's so many. KC Conception. I can't wait to see Barrion Brown run. I want to see David Bailey, how he moves, because there's going to be a lot. Like, I want to see him run that hoop and do those things, the field drills. Because, you know, people say that his bend isn't there. I think he's capable. So those are a few options that I think are off the top.
Do you think – I noticed that Diego Pavia will be there and Ty Simpson from Alabama. I'm really curious. Of course, I'm very curious about Pavia, but that's a different – sort of discussion is, can he get himself to where he's even considered to be drafted? But Simpson, as you know, TD, he's the kind of guy that if somebody falls in love with him, or two or three teams do, he could come shooting up the board. What do you think we're going to see?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why he's throwing, and he's going to go out there and show up. I don't think there's much Pavia could do. His height is his height, but I mean, if he could put that ball out there, he could help himself some. But Ty Simpson, that's going to be the one to watch, right? Because obviously, you look at Mendoza, he's not throwing. So it'd be Ty Simpson's chance to really stand out.
TD, great stuff as always. Have a great time up there. And let's keep an eye on Juan Soto, his move to left field, and let's see if Bo Bichette can play some third base. We got to piece this together one day at a time for the Mets, right? We got to still recover.
So we got to always end this with the Mets with y'all too.
Not always, but you know, it's spring training. You know, we're starting to play games.
Yeah, the season opener is coming. You know, March 26th. I'll be in the building. Can't wait for that, and let's go.
TD is a season ticket holder. He is big time.
He's one up on you.
We got to touch base. That's why I got to touch base with TD. We got to stick together. TD, great stuff. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you guys.
Yep. All right. That is Teron Davenport. He is fueled by Parman Energy. Every time he joins our show, visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution, and his reports from the Combine this week up in Indy are brought to you by Chicago's Home for Chicken and Waffles, in East Nashville. That is right along Gallatin Road. It is a great spot, so check it out. All right, we are coming back. Chris Mason is going to join us. We're going to go double Mace, D Mace and C Mace, and we'll talk about that unbelievable game that we saw yesterday morning. Also, we'll touch on some of the other parts of the Olympic tournament, Roman Yossi's performance, UC Soros and Eric Halla win the bronze, and we will set the table for the resumption of the season on Thursday. So we're going to want to hear from you. You can get some calls in, some texts in, as well as C-Mace breaks it down with us. Stay tuned. You're listening to DVD here on 102.5 The Game.